Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
With me now to debut a brand new project that is one that will knock it out of the park every time you pop it in your player is a name synonymous with bluegrass, Isaacs. So we got Ben Isaacs here. And we've also got a name synonymous with music, yeah. But I think probably a frustrated bluegrass singer himself. Bill Gaither, who co-produced a bluegrass project. Now, you got to put this together in my mind. Why this and why now? Now, I know I've heard the jokes about your nose.
Let me start out by saying that this is really not a bluegrass project. This is a music, just a vocal project. We had the idea of getting Bill to produce this Naturally CD, and then I went to Bill and I said, Bill, would you be interested in producing this CD?
Well, the question was, would you be interested in producing an a cappella CD?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he said he would think about it, and he called me about 2 weeks later. He was on vacation. I think he was in California or somewhere, and he says, hey, Ben. He said, I have an idea. He said, how's this? He said, let's call it Almost a cappella.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mainly because people get bored after about three or four in mm-hmm. a row.
Yeah.
I mean, they might take one or two and maybe three.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a barbershop convention one night at their finals for 7 till 10. Now, I could sit through all of it because I love barbershop. Yeah. But I think for our broader audience, they would like to have seen every now and then bring in a little banjo, a little guitar, just a little bit, just to break up, the acapella, which is what a lot of people like to hear a quartet after they sing with the piano and the bass.
Absolutely.
Say, okay, would you stop a little bit and do me, can I just hear just the voices? So, hey, it's interesting. You are right. It's not a bluegrass project. What are your regular fans saying about it?
Everybody that has heard it, and even everybody from Joe Bonzel with the Oak Ridge Boys, he sent me a text, Ben, and it said, Ben, this is the most amazing project I have ever heard, and by far my favorite Isaacs project. He said, I smell a Grammy.
Now, does that not offend you, but does that concern you that if this is not,
you know what,
bluegrass, but they're really liking it like this.
Here's the thing with the Isaacs. Okay, yes, you know, I know we're gifted. I know that we're musically we can cut our gig, but it's not our music that brings us to bat. It's our vocal abilities. We know that. You know, we're more of a vocal band than we are a music band. Our music just happens to be a little different style.
Sure.
It doesn't offend me at all because it's us. It's kind of like a new baby for us. You still love your old things. You love your older kids, but it's your new prize. And I think I honestly think that we're onto something with this style.
You know, one of the problems with a talented group, including the group that I sing with the exception of the person who is speaking, but with the other four people with whom I sing, the problem is, when you're talented, you can go in a lot of different directions, but you finally got to say, okay, let's zero in on something here that makes some sense. And you can go a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, but you can't be all things to all people. I mean, you just can't do that. And when you're gifted and talented, I mean, like, they blow my mind on all the different kind of music they listen to. I mean, he and Sonia and Becky listen to everything crazy. All kind of extremes, you know, and for your daddy, that had to be a stretch, you know, because he was just a typical old traditional Bill
Ralph
Monroe,
Stanley.
Ralph Stanley,
absolutely,
you know, bluegrass. But the point is, kids are going to come along and they're going to get outside the box. And when they add that little special something to something that's already been good anyway, then everybody goes, ooh, that is kind of nice. So, I mean, it was fun. It was fun working with them. Another thing was fun about it was we got into some four-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're basically used to doing the three, And within the triad, you know, nobody is doubling anybody. With Southern Gospel Quartets, most of the time, the bass is doubling the lead mm-hmm. or, you know, or mm-hmm. the tenor or somebody, you know, yeah. octave away,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here they were singing notes and nobody.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he cares. Every time they sing on our program, when they go, and Lily had to stretch to do that. Your
yeah.
mama really had to stretch. Oh, yes, he cares. I know. And it's just enough to say, hey, we can do that. We want to do it.
It's probably one of the funnest things that you ever sing, because musically we don't hear harmonies like that. Mm. Like Bill said, we were raised on the mountain style of Ralph Stanley, where it's not wrong, but you just sing and then you find the parts that work with what you sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with the barbershop, it's almost blocked. There is a position that everybody has to be in to make those train chords.
Yeah, yeah.
But with Bill, when we started working on Oh Yes He Cares, you know, we were in his office upstairs, and we had song meetings and talking about songs and so on and so forth. And Bill's like, yeah, I think you guys could sing this song. And he starts playing these chords. It's like, okay, well, wait a minute. I started asking him the numbers, because I can read numbers and sing numbers.
Yeah.
But my mom, she can't do that, you know, and it's all memorization for her.
Sure.
I told you it was 1-6-5-flat, 3-flat.
Yes.
Which is the diminished chord. Oh, yes.
Yes.
and you knew the numbers.
But what we did, and what Bill did with us in the studio so we could really learn this, is we went into the studio. He's sitting there with the piano, and we have one vocal mic right there. And then he counts us in, and he's playing the part that it needs to be. He did that with all four of us individually, and us not hearing the other parts. And then we go in and listen, and all four parts are there. And it is just like, it's a train whistle on every chord. You know? It was amazing, and it's really, really, really fun to sing.
Now, that part of the project was new. Now, in all fairness, they can go in with the three of them and hear all different kind of things. But it was so fun to watch them, because it's like they discovered a new flavor of ice cream. They went, this is fun.
It is.
And how many times have you heard me kid about that on the stage? About there is something about that tight four-part chord stuff. Well, maybe that's a little bit heavy for some of the audience, but it helps make an exciting sound for a group.
It does. You know, people may not know what the difference is, but they hear it.
They hear it, and they like it.
It is well.
Isaacs Naturally is the project title, and it subtitled Almost Acapella Collection. Sonia wrote the first cut that's on here, and A Little Bit of Heaven, and you've had fun singing this.
Yeah, A Little Bit of Heaven, only reason, what we say on stage is the only reason Bill let us record it is because it sounds old.
You know what I told him? I said, you know what, I'm going to be real tough on anything you bring to get past me, you know, because... I kind of had some ideas that I thought could make the thing special, and hopefully it did.
Oh yeah, this song. You know, when we went into the studio, what we did first is we went in and set three mics up in the studio, and I had a couple of my favorite musicians come in, which is Brian Sutton and Aubrey Haney, and they can play anything, and they play it with the attitude and the feeling that needs to make the song. You know, it's like having a great piano player, but we're not a piano group. You know, and with this song, A Little Bit of Heaven, I was hearing it completely different than the way Sonia wrote it. I was like, I thought, let's just go Dixieland with it.
So I
had him play like a tenor banjo with it, and then went back in and added a washboard. So it's different, you know, it's
Well, when you put, I mean, bluegrass, probably even a little bit more than a gospel quartet, I think, is tied to their instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the acapella is beautiful, but the instruments, man, that's people come out and they want the fast banjo music and stuff like that. And you've seen all the shticks on stage, you know, we're going to do an acapella tune, and then the instrumentalists, they get angry, you know. they get offended. Now, in all honesty, I mean, this is a real project, and you're setting out to do an almost acapella. Yeah. Was it challenging for the musicians, or were they offended at all?
You know what?
Or?
They liked it. Brian Sutton said, boy, this is fun. And it was only he with with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
But he was perfect for it, wasn't he? And,
Aubrey
was perfect.
Aubrey, it's Brian. I know Brian loves the CD because I heard it through just somebody this week, somebody he was working for, and they came to me and said, man, Brian said that is his favorite project he's ever played on. You know, because it not only, you know, when you have, I'm a producer in fact that I totally believe that less is more. You can do a lot more with less than you can with too much.
There comes to a place, even in recording vocals, to say, okay, well, let's do two sets of it. Let's do three. Mm-hmm. There does come to a place where it's a law of diminishing returns. I mean, you're going past the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so right. There's sometimes when less is a whole lot more powerful than more. You know, it concerns me with the producing period that you just keep adding, you know, a bigger orchestra, bigger ending. You finally say, okay, you got me pinned against the wall, but I can't go back any farther. You know,
that's true. But the comment about Brian is it lets his expression totally be heard completely. You know, interpretation with our vocals. You know, you're not fighting through drums and you're not fighting through everything else that's there to do the interpretation. So I can see as a musician, on a musicianship side, it completely showcases that as well. And he did an incredible job, you know, playing with the harmonies too.
There's a little bit of heaven in every gospel song, and it sounds like a choir of angels when everybody's singing along. There's so much love in every line, the harmony is so divine. There's a little bit of heaven in every good old gospel song. It's the sweetest memory I have as a child. Bring a chair and a buddy, everybody going down to the singing every Saturday night, and we sing, I'll fly away, what a day that's gonna be. What a beautiful thing when we sing, that sounds like home to me. There's a little bit of heaven in every gospel song, and it sounds like a choir of angels when everybody's singing along. There's so much love in every line, the harmony is so divine. There's a little bit of heaven in every good old gospel song. Up and let her fly, and just think about Jesus' love when burdens are weighing you down. 'Cause when you sing a sweet melody, it's gonna lift you right off the ground. There's a little bit of heaven in every gospel song, and it sounds like a choir of angels when everybody's singing along. There's so much love in every line, the harmony is so divine. There's a little bit of heaven in every good old gospel song. There's so much love in every line, the harmony is so divine. There's a little bit of heaven in every good old gospel song.
I was listening to it last night, this morning, and okay, the song, Does Jesus Care?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, we talked about that. dynamics mm-hmm. of the vocal thing in there. I mean, I know you know what I'm talking about because you produced it and you worked on it. But when people hear this, I pay attention, like the line, when the burdens, and it's almost a whisper, press.
And it carries its stress.
Yeah, and it carries distress. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you could almost hear a pin drop at that moment, but mm-hmm. That's where the less is more mm-hmm. comes into play, I think, right?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it allows you to be completely free with your interpretation in performance. You know, it's I think when you show dynamics, you show heart.
You know something else? It ends and begins with the song. Now, you could do that same kind of harmony on something else. But is that a great old song?
Oh, it is.
I mean, it is a great song because it's hitting a very sensitive nerve. You ever been in a place where you thought, does anybody care?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I have.
Does anybody care?
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, He cares, I know He cares, His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no
tears flow all the night long.
I can't hear the song without thinking back to a video where Doug Oldham sang the emotion in his face and the way that guy can communicate. And so even in the newer renditions of the song and a new artist sings it, I think back to the emotion that it evoked in Oldham. And I think, man, this is not just a happy feel good song just for the sake of happy feel good. This is true stuff.
You know, across the board, Christian or secular, anybody else, but people want to matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to matter.
Yeah.
And can you imagine a single mom just every day getting up, getting her kids ready, going to school and going and working, trying to make that thing work herself, and come home at night and the kids hardly say thanks. I mean, they're little. I mean, they don't know what else to do. And she goes to bed. I mean, she's got to think, does anybody care?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is across the board emotion that everybody sooner or later goes through.
Yeah. Oh, yes, He cares. Touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
second verse to that song.
When I tried and failed.
Man, when I step out, it's just, I can sing it with my heart because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, I've had enough junk in my past that makes it real to me. And I hope that when I'm singing it, people see that in me. You know, I want to be real. I want to be a light, but I also want to be an encouragement because, you know, I am proof that you can live beyond crap.
Yeah.
If exactly. I can say that on the radio.
Sure.
It just blows my mind, the lyrics, you know. And then Bill, when he brought this song to us, I mean, and I have to say, I have to brag on Bill. He is by far the best song person I've ever met in my life. You know, and you can see this even when we're on stage with them and we're doing the homecoming part of a concert. You know, nobody knows what Bill's going to do but Bill. But he can read a crowd so good and just knows where to go spiritually, fun, funny. And I respect him for that. And then to be able to work in a studio with him and under him, you know, it was nervous for me because, you know, me being a co-producer, you know, he's an idol to me, and I want to impress him. I want him to know that, you know, that I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it's like having your favorite architect look at what you built.
Right.
You know what's been fun of this project? In the beginning, when people said, "Did you co-produce that with Ben?" I said, "No. All I did was to aim him and direct him." As all these accolades are beginning to come in, how great it is! I think maybe Daniel, I did a little bit more of what I remember about it.
Probably so.
I keep kidding him. You know what? I think that a little bit, but no. But in all fairness, when you get into stuff like Hard Times,
Yeah.
I mean, that is Ben Isaacs at his best. You know, I mean, to me, the accompaniment on that, what was that, a washboard? Or something?
Well, the Hard Times was Rob Ikes is playing a solid wood dobro, so it sounds like a slide guitar. Mm-hmm. And I had Eric Darkin come in, and he played everything from a hubcap to a Mercedes to real chains. What we wanted to, it's such a song about... almost like slavery, you know, hard times, come again no more, that I wanted it to sound like a chain gang. Almost like a chain gang kind of feel with a groove.
Now that's totally Ben at his best. It really is.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while again. is sighing all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh.
Okay, it's all of this. I'm figuring this out. Bill likes the term bridge building. So this is not just bridge building from old songs to new songs, and the old songs, but they last because they're good. And we've learned that with Does Jesus Care? Songs like that. But also, and not just going from four-part gospel and then bridging a gap over into the contemporary world. But, I mean, this is a direction maybe some of us didn't see coming, although... In all fairness, I think bluegrass and country are kissing cousins with gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think that these bridges are spreading out from all over the place.
And, you know, here again, how many times have you heard me say, I hate labels? I just hate labels. Obviously, there is a label called bluegrass. Mm-hmm. And but there's, I mean, it's hard to label you. I mean, you're part bluegrass, but you're certainly a vocal group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just bringing together the best of both of those worlds. It's interesting that Joe Bonzo comment, you know, I have heard a lot of people say, you know, I love the Isaacs, but boy, I especially love this project. So I'm mm-hmm. excited for you.
Well, we've always been, the reason that we even entertain the thought of an a cappella, you know, ever since Bill has started using us, I think the very first song that we ever sang on a Gaither video was I Have a Father Who Can.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I think that was at TPAC in Nashville. Yeah. And that was a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, and a cappella music for a family, you know, and especially siblings has been a huge part of what we do. You know, we don't do a concert without an a cappella or two. And now, you know, three or four.
Sure.
Or almost a cappella, you know, where sure. just be one guitar and you know, I mean, but it's even more than a cappella. It's the song, you know, it's how the song relates to the people, you know.
With the thought of labels, some people will come up and say, I'm not a bluegrass fan, mm-hmm. but I yeah. like the Isaacs.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Let me go farther there. To me, that's the bottom line.
Yes.
I wrote a book one time that you might want to pick up, Daniel, and read it. It's called More Than the Music. And if there's a young musician listening out there, listen very carefully. It has to be more than the music.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget, about 40 years ago, there was a guy named Bob Hale and Dean Wilder, and they were two opera singers who made their living in New York singing secular opera. But they grew up in the old Nazarene church, and they loved to do great sacred hymns. Mm-hmm. So they would go out in the summer when they were not doing their New York gig, to churches.
Yeah.
And the two of them, one was the baritone and one was the tenor, they would do amazing classical sacred music, you know, and great hymns, you know, mm-hmm. Oh God, Our Help, Ages Past, Martin Luther's tune. Yeah. I will never forget at the college church where there were a lot of academic types who were there that night, in Anderson, the old truck driver who came out, this is back in the LP days, with six, count them, one, six LPs from these two opera singers. And wow. he said, I don't normally like this kind of music, but I like those guys. I think that's what happens with you.
Yeah.
I think the people who say, I don't normally like bluegrass music, but they look at three kids, son, two daughters, and a mother whose parents survived the Holocaust.
Right.
The context of the whole night, and if they have any musicality to them at all, they say, it's not, that wouldn't be been the kind of thing I'd gone to, but after I went to it, mm-hmm. I said, these guys are good. They are very, very good. Interesting, David Phelps, who was trained classically, when he talks about your harmonies, he'll say, we needed to do those Isaac kinds of moves. He said, it's just intuitive.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between learned behavior and genius behavior in any field. In all fairness, Ben, you didn't earn that. That was just something mm-hmm. that your mother and father, put in the DNA of you three kids. Mm-hmm. And it does come out very appealing across the board to a lot of people who normally would not like that kind of music.
Let's talk about Larry Gatlin's song that you did, Healing Stream. Larry's a great guy. And I've heard him sing the song, but you took it and went, I mean, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It is, but I like it.
I love the way he goes with those beautiful six major, three major chords. I mean, how he does that, it's beautiful. But it does fit the theme of the lyric of that tune. There's a healing stream.
Right.
And Larry has experienced that, I mean, personally.
Yeah.
And so he can sing that with conviction.
It was fun. We've been Gatlin fans a long time, you know. And you know, you can't sing it like they do. We just sung it Isaac style.
Yeah.
But it's one of those songs that it's kind of like the Jimmy Brown song. You always remember it, especially the melody.
Right.
Once you hear it. And Larry is an incredible writer. On most parts, he's a brilliant man.
There's a healing stream that's flowing down from a higher place above. It's a healing stream where heartaches drown. It's a love.
Isaacs, Naturally, an almost a cappella collection. Our guests today are Ben Isaacs of the Isaacs and co-producer for this project, Bill Gaither.
Are you ready? Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. There's a shortage on corn, a shortage on wheat. There's a shortage on beans, a shortage on meat. The things that we needed, we just can't hardly buy. Why, there's even a shortage on the air and the sky. But I know one thing, there's no shortage of.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. Da da da.
There's a shortage on fuel, a shortage on gas. Got a shortage on wood, a shortage on glass. The things that we've wasted are now precious to buy. You know there's even a shortage on the air and the sky. But I know a great thing, there's no shortage of.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. God is love and mercy unending. His precious love will leave you no doubt. When from Satan you need defending, God has supplies that will never run out.
Da 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 da. There's a shortage on friendship, a shortage on smiles. There's a shortage on neighbors, though they're millions for miles. Thank heaven for one thing, there's no shortage of.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. Da 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 da.
Can I just say I love, and I think if my predictor is any good, I think that if no shortage is ever sent to radio or marketed the right way, I think that could be a signature for you. I mean,
is that
great?
Cool?
That is a good
song. It's a
song.
Little different than the Imperials version.
Yeah, it is. Doom, 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 doom. Hey, doom, doom, here's the frustrated doom, bluegrass doom, guy coming and making his appearance. Boom, boom, boom. And Gary Paxton wrote that, huh?
Gary Paxton wrote a good friend of mine.
He's Monster Mash guy, isn't he?
Monster Mash.
Yeah.
He goes way back. Man. That's way before your time.
Yeah, well, I grew up on this stuff, so that's good.
Yeah.
So he's writing this. I mean, I hear it before I knew who wrote it, and honestly, before I knew the Imperials did it, and know there's a date on this in 1975, I hear it, I think, look at this. The Isaacs are being relevant. They teach you that in radio. They're being relevant, 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 talking about today's issues, the shortage on gas, and bad economy. And here I look, it's written 1975.
Yeah.
Which it's a mark says, of a good song, huh?
Which says, history has proven this world has never been very stable.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You think about the unstable times that Jesus was born into this world.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no shortage on love. There's no shortage on peace. One of my favorite tunes on there. And I suggested this one was All the Chapel Bells Are Ringing. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking, has Brother Ben come full circle and become a singer on this project?
He has. You get a great point. Great point. When I hear him, some of these songs open up with just his voice. I said, "Well, it's really good.
Oh.
It's really good."
You know what? You know why he's been a long time coming on that? I identify with it perfectly. I was the older brother who taught my sister and my brother how to do it. I was a producer, keyboard player, accompanist. I was behind the scene and put them out front. I never forget the day when Bob McKenzie said to me, my producer said, "Hey, you know, you got a suit just like them. Looks like you're out there, but you act like you're not supposed to be part of the singing bunch, you know."
Right, right.
You know, and he has very quickly backed off and said to Sonia and Becky, "You know, you take it." But I love his voice, and a lot of other people are loving his voice.
It's just
out there. It's a believable voice, and to take this old classic of Jim Ed Brown, and we were at the opera the other night, and Jim Ed was so excited that
he was. It's for me being the singer, or it's a whole, you know, I've always sung one song or so every other album,
right.
And most of the time it was the fast stuff.
And you kind of threw it away. It was kind of
I did. I just, you know, I Sonia and Becky are always been, and I believe, you know, they're both incredible to be completely different styles. You know, Becky's the heart, Sonia's the licks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I always thought that I was the blender. You know, yeah. I was the guy who mixed those two sounds together.
Gotcha.
But now, with me stepping out, it's the most unnerving thing I've ever done in my life to set my bass down and hold a microphone and step out in front of them two steps and sing a solo.
When I saw the Crimson Fountain.
But, you know, I've talked to Bill a lot about this. It's like, you know, Bill, I don't want to go out there and my voice be going, you know, because right. I really do. I want to perform it with so much heart, and I want to come across so honest that I don't want my nerves to get in the way.
Right.
You know, but I think as a human, we have nerves, you know.
You know what? Ask John Denver when he was alive about that. You know, he wrote songs like Leaving on a Jet Plane for Everybody Else. And finally, this little, crazy little voice, Sunshine on My Shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, he finally said, I guess people like to hear me sing. Mm-hmm. So if they do, I'll sing for them.
Sure.
So that's what Bill says to me. He goes, you know, Bill, he said, Ben, you know, just sing. Sing, you know, open up.
Well, and having a low voice or a bass voice. Yeah. I know you were doing some bass licks and some of the earlier Isaac stuff.
Mm-hmm. But Little Jimmy Brown, is that great?
That is good. That is good.
Thanks.
Great story song.
There's a village hidden deep in a valley among the pine trees half forlorn. And there on a sunny morning, Little Jimmy Brown was born. Bum, 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 bum.
All the chapel bells were bum, ringing
bum,
in the little village bum, town.
Bum,
and the song that they were singing
bum,
was for baby Jimmy Brown.
Bum,
and the little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, bless this hour of meditation, guide him with eternal love.
Ben, tell me what your favorite song is.
I think When God Seems So Near. That was the first song we cut in the studio. I think it was absolutely, I think Becky just shines on that song. I think that's one of that I can scan through the CD, and I always stop on it.
And that's a song Bill and Gloria wrote in '66, looks like.
Yeah, it was one of our earlier songs. You know, we live in such a world of noise. It is hard to get. Every now and then, when we go out to the cabin in the country, we'll say, "Listen how quiet it is."
Yeah.
But even then, at a distance, you can hear dogs barking or, you know. But to get in a place where, but to see you guys do that up in Alaska on that video, that's going
to
be beautiful.
I can't wait to see it.
You know, with the glaciers and everything in the background, it's going
to
be beautiful.
When I pause to pray, I enter his cathedral. These are the times when God seems so near.
I know Isaac's sang this song at Donnie Rambo's funeral, Mama's Teaching Angels.
My favorite. Is that great?
Isn't that good? So I got to know the timeline. Were you working on this project at the time of the funeral, or did the funeral spawn this?
The funeral definitely spawned it. We didn't know we were singing at Dottie's funeral that song until the night before. We knew the chorus had never. Dottie, we did it with Dottie on the campfire video.
Yeah.
And we just
yeah.
learned the choruses. You know, I wrote numbers on the verses. Never really paid attention to the verses. Well, the night before, Kevin Williams calls me. He goes, "Hey, Bill wants you guys to sing Mama's Teaching Angels How to Sing." We're like, "Okay, freak out." We'll be glad to do it. So we're on the bus. We have this little traveling internet that goes with us. We're looking up YouTube versions of Mama's Teaching Angels How to Sing so we can hear the verses, you know,
you could have called Mark, and he could have told you everything he knew about it, about the slipping and the sliding and
or the rainbows. Or Love Dottie's writing. But, boy, when they sang that at the funeral, were you there?
No, but I saw it or heard it.
Oh, it was just stunning. And when Buck and Reba heard it,
yeah.
How to sing, where they do go real high, I can't hit the notes.
I have to say Buck has become, because of, before this album was even out, right after I mixed it, before I even went to mastering, Buck had, his wife May had sent me an email and said, hey, we did WSM one morning in Nashville, and Buck was listening on the radio, and I get this email later on that day on my MySpace or whatever it was, and it says, hey, this is May Rambo, Buck would like to talk to you. So I answered back and said, yeah, here's my number. So meanwhile, Buck says, hey, I heard the song, and you guys are amazing, and I've never heard it done so well, and I love you guys. And it actually sends me a letter. After I send him a copy of the full CD, he sends me a letter that says, hey, Ben, I want you to know, first of all, I never do this kind of thing. And I have this letter on my refrigerator. I mean, I see it every day.
Yeah.
It says, I see you in a place where I used to be.
Yeah.
And it's, you guys are so talented, and let me encourage you to keep doing what you do, and just know that, you know, you make me proud, and it just, it was a sweet letter. And
great song.
Yeah.
Mama's teaching angels how to sing. Halls are silent when Mama sings. David lays down his heart, and heaven's bells won't ring when Mama's teaching angels how. Down his heart, and heaven's bells won't ring when Mama's teaching angels how to sing.
With your Jewish heritage, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm assuming that Hallelujah has some
Hebrew.
So Hebrew.
It is Hebrew. Yeah. That we did that song, and this is another one of Bill's brainstorms. We did that song in at the Israel taping.
Yeah.
And
that song won the Israeli won the European song of the year. I hope this is correct. Like in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And I love the feel. I love those chords. Are those beautiful chords?
It's great.
Of course, the word Alleluia is the same in every language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Alleluia. Yeah. What's the next line?
The Hebrew is, or Im Hashir.
Yeah.
So we have had so many requests, and we've never had it recorded anything other than the video. So I went to Bill, and I was like, and I think he doubted me on this one. I said, we want to do the Hallelujah song. And I think he's looking at me going, well, how are you going to get the doom, jink, doom, jink, doom, jink, doom, jink? So I went to Brian.
The Broadway kick thing. Oh, ba, da, da. I got about to see some dancing.
Yeah.
I better say quite some dancing on it.
That's right.
So I went to Brian, and I was like, Brian, I know this is how this song was done. I said, but if you were playing it around a campfire, how would you play it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And that's how it ended
it's
up.
Great.
It ended up, and I had Molly Cherry Holmes. She is, I've worked with Cherry Holmes on three other projects. She's a great little 13-year-old fiddle player that played fiddle, viola, and cello on this. I just gave her several passes, and she did all the orchestration stuff on it. So.
I think you probably see it a lot in ballads, but the way that song unfolds, it starts off and it progresses, and it is an English speaking person in an English audience, you know, when you get from the Hebrew and then you translate into English,
yeah.
and then everything picks up in the, you know, the Broadway thing, or in this case, with the instruments that you're using on this project. I mean, it just build, and it's
We did a lot of that with Molly. Molly did right. like the first passes, just a fiddle and then fiddle and cello, and you know, so it's it helps on that side of it.
Hallelujah, la o la, hallelujah, yashiru kula,
hallelujah, sounds of love, hallelujah, the sunshine above. Hallelujah, the bells will go ringing and echo from dawn till night. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hand in hand. Hallelujah, all over the land. Hallelujah, let's try from the storm.
I brought this song to the Isaacs because when I was a kid, worship was a very important part of my life. I grew up in a little holiness church, and we would sing this on Sunday morning when I saw the crimson fountain open wide for all my sin. I will praise him. I would see the old saints singing this with the... Now, I know you come from a more liturgical church background, right? So you wouldn't you might not understand.
A little bit, yeah.
But sing it with tears and a lot of emotion. You know, I will praise him. I will praise the Lamb. I've always loved that. So we got talking about how we could do it and invert the harmony. But it's interesting how that arrangement unfolded, because we wanted to go up a half a step on the last verse to go glory, glory to his name. And that, somebody said, whose idea was that key change? I said, I think that was probably Ben and me together, and maybe Becky and Sonia just falling into something.
It was an accident. It was kind of one of those accidents.
We said, what would happen if you come down and have to? That is the most beautiful key change I've ever right. heard before. In fact, I think I'll go ask Ben Spear, who's technical, to say exactly, write me the numbers down on that
yeah.
key change.
Yeah, the root of it.
But it was kind of a God thing. But boy, that is just a beautiful. I think by far, or not by far, but it's one of my very favorite ones on it.
I will pray. Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give
Ben, what is your totally secular, totally bluegrass, diehard fan base? What are they? How are they responding to something like this?
I think a cappella music has always been a huge part of totally bluegrass, because when a bluegrass band does an a cappella song, it's the only thing that's really not labeled as bluegrass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an a cappella song.
Right, right.
It's accepted everywhere. You know, I'm anxious to see, actually, in this album just came out this week.
Right.
I don't know. Everybody that has heard it including, and I've sent it to some of my most favorite people, you know, Ricky Skaggs, several engineers that I have worked with, and producers, and they just, everybody's just like, oh my goodness, that's incredible. So, good. We'll see. I don't know.
I can't say enough good. I mean, when I heard this was coming out, I thought that voice was going to be good. And I think Bill said this backstage, that it's like a fine wine. Have you heard that? Him talk about how that, how you just, you have to sit there and you work at it, but also it's the less is more thing, I think, you're talking about earlier.
And what I meant by the less is more, you can make, and it's a totally a production side thing. You will understand it as a, as working engineering wise. You can pan out positions with four positions easier than you can 10, because there's, you know.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's what I meant by less is more. You can make so much more sound bigger than.
Mm. Well, in this world of noise and everything that drives us crazy, this is a great thing just to turn it up and then let kind of the simpleness of it, let that invade your noise for a while. And then in turn, I think you're gonna find that the message is true, and the harmonies complement the message, and the sound complements the message, and that's what it's all about after all. So,
thank you, and I hope that we have done that, and I'm proud of it. You know, I have a lot of hours in it.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm proud. You know, it's like I say. You know, we treat our albums like they're one of our new kids. You know, and this is our new baby. So.
Well, this baby has a bow in the hair and is ready for a glamour shot, I tell you. This is great. Theisaacs.com and Gaither.com, two places you can catch it, plus some retail stores all around the country, too. Bill Gaither and Ben Isaacs co-producing this thing together called The Isaacs Naturally. And I tell you what. I mean,
and I think I did more than what I thought I did. Now that everybody loves the project.
Go tell Gloria. Remind her who she's married to, okay?
I have to make a comment. When you said that, when we were playing it back after we mixed it, we were listening to No Shortage.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the car. We were up there. I was up there mixing, and Bill's sitting in the driver's seat, and Gloria's in the passenger seat, and I'm sitting in the back seat. And No Shortage comes on, and it's boom, 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 boom. Okay. Well, all right. So Bill grabs Gloria's hand and goes, that's me.
And Gloria wrote in here, with harmonies so sweet they break your heart, the Isaacs harmonies have been laid bare, totally shed of pretense and embellishment, caressing the powerful but fragile message of each song with tenderness. The personalities blend into the landscape of what is true. If our souls have a language, this is as close to speaking it on earth as human beings can get.
Okay, Gloria. Okay.
And you married her.
You married her.
So she still left us in the dust on the footnotes, right?
That's right. Hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking time to talk about it.
Thank you, Nina.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.